10:03 here on the Morning Scramble with Jeff and Cindy Hoyt, and Carter Castle has arrived. Hey, man.
Good morning.
Good morning to both of you.
Yeah, good to have you here. I'm just trying to make sure I know which microphone you're on, so keep talking to me there.
Okay, testing 1, 2, 3.
I got it. Okay.
Probably should lean in there.
Yeah. Okay. So, Carter, is you're back with new music.
Yes, yeah.
Close Calls, Far Cries is the name of the CD. Mm-hmm. It accompanied me on my trip into Seattle yesterday.
I'm glad you were moving, because I think sometimes they sound better when you're in a car moving.
Yeah.
A lot of music sounds better on the road.
It does, yes.
And this is actually good. This is actually good driving music.
Well, thank you.
There's some stuff. It's got there was a couple tunes that had almost a rockabilly quality to it, and just great stuff. And it produced over at Jeff Woolen's place.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And we've got, let's see, who do we have on this record? Tell us a little bit about your band.
Well, Tanner Montague is on the drums.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Keeger, of course, is doing the bass. And I'm doing the rhythm guitar. And Steve Amston's doing the lead guitar. Randy Bruce is on the accordion.
Uh-huh.
And piano.
Yeah. And on one of the tunes, Jack Barbash.
That's a live tune from the old Blue Heron.
Yeah.
That we captured when I did a show there.
Uh-huh.
And, unfortunately, it was just before Jack passed away.
Oh, man.
And I asked Jack, I said, would you go into the studio with us? And he said, oh, Carter, I just hate doing recordings. But for you, I would do it. But unfortunately, he didn't make it.
Yeah. Well, Jack was... he's kind of one of those island legends.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Loved.
We visited his grave over at the cemetery.
Oh, yeah.
And with the notes.
How nice.
The piano notes on it.
Yeah.
That suits him.
So I want to talk a little bit about making a record. And you got your guitar. You got a special song that's not on the record.
That's correct.
Yeah. That we're going to play. But I want to play something from the record here first. And,
sure.
And I don't know which song... you would like to play. Would you do you have a request?
I don't know. Love in Your Eyes.
Love in Your Eyes, which is track 8. Okay. Well, talk to us a little bit. You know, we're not musicians. We don't know how this stuff works. Do you just find yourself piling up a bunch of songs and you feel like it's time, or the process of deciding to make a record? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, in my case, first you have to consider how many songs you've worked on over a space of time, and
mm-hmm.
see if they have a kind of a conformity to them that or thematic conformity
that feels like it would all suit
exactly.
fit together. Yeah,
yeah. And also a lot of it is being urged by friends to. To go into the studio.
Get in the studio, Carter.
Yeah, those are good songs, and you should be recording these and blah, that kind of stuff.
What are you doing standing around here for?
Right.
Yeah,
so there's a lot of cajoling and a lot of planning. Actually, Steve and I talked about doing a recording for a couple of years, and we had put together the band and gone out and done a couple of shows, and then...
Mm-hmm.
Lives got busy,
mm-hmm.
so
as they are wont to
do. We started in January 2016, got most of the tracks done, and had plans to dub in some more. But as we listened to it, we decided we didn't really want, and I didn't want to dub in many things. So I think the only thing that was dubbed in was a piano,
mm-hmm.
and for one song, and then
there
was some additional accordion that we thought could improve, and so it came out just. As you have it right in your hand there, without an awful lot. It was all live, done in the studio, each take, and that's the what we came up with.
Yeah.
We'd do it two or three times and then say, well, that's the best one. Let's keep that.
Yeah.
And that is the antithesis of modern electronic music.
Yeah,
I mean, I love hearing that, because I've been hearing how a lot of these... modern producers and engineers, well, modern is a silly word to use in this context, mm-hmm. but electronic, let's just say it that way.
Yeah, there's so much choice.
And they record a song, maybe 12 times.
I know.
And then every word that's best in each version, they take out that word and they put it into the master. So by the time you're listening to 12 words, it could have come from 12 different versions of the song. And I'm just like, yeah, that's just not right.
I agree. Well, I think it tells on itself. There's a lot of overproduced work out there. And it's because the technology is relatively new and people know they can do it.
Yeah.
And so they're led up the garden path. And I don't know. I felt like you, Cindy, always, that I wanted something that was more immediate, more genuine, in my view, and a live kind of experience with the whole band, not just all of us partitioned in different, closets with mm-hmm. headphones.
You're right. Yeah.
Which, it's sort of... it divides you.
Uh-huh.
You don't really feel the same way with one another.
The synergy is not there.
Yeah.
Well, let's check out a track from Close Calls, Far Cries. This is track number 8, Love in Your Eyes, Carter Castle on KVSH.
My shoulder, pain in my heart, I turned my face to the sky. But now I'm blinded by the light when I look for love in your eyes. Through Harlem, sail down the Seine, I pass through Old Honey Lane. I've done some traveling out on the street just to find my way. Memory follows me, our love is fierce and sublime. I always find peace of mind when I look for love in your eyes. I cross the shoes, seems like there's always more to lose. But you've kept me faithful, you kept me true. I feel the same as you. If that's the way it all goes down, must be the same coming round. I'll always find look forward without regret. Some things you never forget. That's why I'll travel the Western Star just to be where you are. Storm clouds and restless wind are revelation aside. I always find Christmas wind, our revelation aside, I always find such peace of mind when I look for love in your eyes. I always find peace of mind when I look for love in your eyes.
Carter Castle from Close Calls, Far Cries. That's Love in Your Eyes on KVSH.
You said you wrote that one for the guitar project?
Yeah, the guitar project. It was at least 2 years ago, I think, if I'm
right. Yeah, that was a great show.
It was.
At the VCA, where they gave you a certain guitar?
Right. And they filmed each of us in front of our houses exchanging the guitar, which was kind of fun. I don't know, It was a good challenge. You know,
so,
they'd come inside and then they'd interview you and
record
you as you did the song, and then later they played it on the, you know, on the loudspeaker before you came on.
Yeah,
and a big screen of your interview.
Yeah, oh, that's great. I remember that project. We missed the show. Saw a bunch of the videos and the it was very cool. So when did you release? You just released this record.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, officially in April, but the CD release is this Saturday at the Coop.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that'll be a fun thing.
The Coop is such a great thing.
Yeah. It's very individual in some ways.
I
mean, it's embedded in the community in a unique way.
Yeah. We were hearing about it when we first heard about it before we ever went out there.
Yeah.
It was like the stuff of legend.
Yeah.
You know.
No one was quite sure where to find it.
Or how to get an invite to go over there and actually be a part of it. And then we found out, you just go.
Yeah, you just go.
You know,
show
some
up
kind
and,
of toward the north end.
Yeah.
It's astonishing how many people now are really coming in droves and enjoying it.
Yeah.
But it still maintains its uniqueness. And that's all due really to Chris Anderson, to be honest. He's he's sort of the godfather of the whole project.
And,
there's a lot of other people who've contributed, but it's quite unique.
Well, you brought your guitar, and you're going to play us a song that's not on this record.
Yes, I am. It's one I've just been working over for a while since I got back from Morocco, and it's about a particular town that I spent time in called Essaouira.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the Atlantic Ocean. It's kind of has a feeling of, for me anyway, of being back in the Middle Ages.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it is a town, but it has inside the town an ancient fortress. And there's a fortress wall, of course, and you feel and hear the ocean as you're walking up and down. And there are these open plazas.
Can you walk on the wall or?
Just alongside of it, actually. Mm-hmm. No, it's very steep and high.
Yeah. And does the wall surround the town completely?
It does. Not the entire town. Just I would say the locus of the original town.
Yeah.
Which is very magic and full of, I don't know. You know, when I talk about travel, it's usually about the people. And I found Moroccans to be very warm, very friendly, very giving people. And
how much time did you spend there?
2 weeks.
2 weeks in the country total?
Yeah.
And we're very curious because that is our destination coming up.
So I hear
in
that's
September,
great.
We hope. Where else did you go in Morocco?
Well, we flew directly to Morocco and we had, to Marrakesh.
Uh-huh.
And we had plans to go straight up through the desert to Fez, Chefchaouen, which is the blue city, and visit all those. But it was intensely hot. It was 90 plus.
Mm-hmm.
What time of year was it?
In the desert, October.
Really? And it was still 90?
Yeah, it was unusual. Everyone said so. But I don't know. My wife and I both really love the seaside.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we were always heading for the seaside. So when we knew that we had read about Essaouira and we wanted to go check it out, we were just so taken by it. We stayed. Just enjoyed it so much and loved
being
there.
Say the heck with Fez.
We went up and down the coast a bit. There's another village that's even smaller called Kiki, City Kau Kee. Sidi-Cal Key is just a marvelous beach. It's only like an hour south of Essaouira. But has its own wonderful magic. And I think the thing that struck me an awful lot was there is a big surfing town. And, you think of surfing, you know, here in the U.S., it's not like that in Morocco. I mean, there were French girls in bikinis, of course, and lots of Moroccan guys teaching them how to surf. But the culture, for some reason, I mean, there just wasn't that kind of sexism that you experience, you know, from the guys all looking at the girls, you know, and objectifying them. It just wasn't going on. I'd see them at the mosque, you know, with their surfboards just outside the door.
Oh, really? Oh, they leave their surfboards outside the door?
Leave your shoes and your surfboard.
Right.
Oh, man. That'd make a great picture.
It's so really unique. And I know Morocco is fortunate in that it has a young leader and king. And he passed a constitution and included women having their own businesses, you know, and a lot more progressive sort of values.
Yeah, you can drink alcohol in a lot of places.
You can. It's true. And there's... I would just say that there's an openness. When we would walk down the street or avenues in a big city, people were very open and friendly and would respond and try to help us find our way to Mama Afrique, for example, was a restaurant recommended to us. But we would have to stop and ask maybe half a dozen people because it was very busy and confusing. But I was always touched by how open-mindedly, you know, people responded to us. As Americans.
Turkey was like that.
Yeah.
When we went there.
I'm glad to hear that. When did you go to Turkey?
Oh, that would have been in the mid-80s.
Okay, yeah. Yeah,
and then very we went to Egypt in 03, I guess, as America was gearing up to invade Iraq.
Yeah.
And the Egyptians were super nice, too.
Still really, really warm. And
That
hospitality, that hospitableness is just... really great, isn't it?
And it's really true all over the world and in a lot of places, and especially some places that you might be reluctant to consider as a destination because of reputation or history or recent news articles or events,
political leadership, whatever.
It was shocking when I was in the Grand Fina in a big city and it's a big plaza and I was upstairs in this loft area of just to get a cool drink with my wife and was reading the newspaper and realized that I read a story about how in 2012 there was an attack on tourists in that same spot. They were interviewed and after they'd been arrested, and they all said, "Well, we just don't like Western tourists." You know, it's still there under the surface in a lot of places, but not so much in Morocco.
Yeah.
Really not. It's pretty amazing.
Well, the notion of being in the wrong place at the wrong time is something that is true at any given moment anywhere in the world.
That's right.
But the odds are still with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's good and bad everywhere in the world, but it's just great to travel because it defeats, you know, ignorance in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And diminishes,
the xenophobia.
Narrow-mindedness, bigotry, and that sort of thing.
Well, let's hear the song. This is about Essaouira.
Okay, I'm still working on this song a little bit, so I'm going to just do the best I can with this.
Well, I'll do the best I can to mic it properly.
How's that sound?
Sounds okay.
By the Atlantic Ocean, in old North Africa, there's a seaside village called Essaouira. Women's veils are flowing across. across the market square. You'll hear the seagulls calling above the arid air. Essaouira, Essaouira. Fishing boats are sailing through the morning mist, and poets keep regaling about a lover's kiss. Out in the open market, merchants sell their wares, singers bring their music, one and all to share. You can feel the ocean against the fortress wall, and there's a strong enticement like a siren's call. Essaouira, Essaouira. There are smiling faces behind each wooden door, where there are secret treasures found on the ocean floor, where the desert mingles in the open breeze, leaving trails of fragrance from the argan trees. Essaouira, Essaouira. I follow twisted alleys made from cobblestone, through a rocking lantern, you'll always lead you home. By the Atlantic Ocean, in old North Africa, there's a seaside village named Essaouira. Essaouira.
Essaouira.
Now I want to go there more than ever.
Yeah. Well, we will try to do that in September.
But I got to ask you real quick. I know sure. It's about time for us to wrap up, but you mentioned argan trees mm-hmm. in the song. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, argan trees, because I thought it meant like the argon gas. So I typed it in, and no, it's spelled with a two A's.
Argan, yeah.
But it brought up all these pictures of goats climbing
That's
trees.
Right. I actually have a postcard just like this one with the goats climbing up into the trees.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a funny phenomena there.
I guess there's
really
a fruit
is.
Up there they like to eat or something?
No, it's the leaves. They want to eat all the leaves off, you know, in the desert, because there's not much else to eat in some places.
Well, I hope we get to see it. I hope we get to see goats climbing trees.
You'll see also the women pressing the argan nuts into this healing sort of salve.
Oh.
It's used for a lot of different shampoo, you know, all kinds of skin ailments. And
surfer injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah, abrasions from hitting the sand too hard.
Well, I wish you all well and hope you have a great trip.
Oh, we will.
Well, thanks very much.
Yeah. Nice hearing about it.
Singing us on our way.
The new record is called Close Calls, Far Cries from Carter Castle, and the CD party, tell us again.
The Coop?
Well, that'll be at the Coop this the 16th, this Saturday.
This Saturday at the Coop. Yeah, all right, cool. Carter, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, Cindy and Jeff, for inviting me.
Appreciate Absolutely. It.